I don't want to be here preaching, just be preaching. I would love to be of a blessing to you while I'm here. I really would. You hear about these three preachers got together, they was going to confess the sins one to another. One of them said, well, my sin is I steal money out of the general fund. Second one says, well, I keep a filthy liquor in the refrigerator at home. I drink liquor, nobody in church knows anything about it. The third one says, well, my sin is gossip, and I can't wait to get out of here to tell it. Open your Bibles, please. Luke chapter 1. The service this evening is at what, 6? I want to encourage you to come this evening. Please come. I'm going to be preaching with the help of God this evening on Paul's thorn in the flesh. You may have a thorn in the flesh. That may be the reason why you suffer like you do. But please come this evening. I believe God will speak to our hearts from that message. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. All right, Luke chapter 1. I'll begin reading with verse 26. Before I start reading, if you find I'm having trouble breathing while I'm preaching, it's because that COVID nearly killed me. I'm sincere, it nearly got me. Hadn't been for the prayers of God's people, I believe I'd have died. I had that first strand that was so bad back yonder several years ago. I normally weigh about 195. I lost down to 152 pounds. Nothing but skin and bones. If you have that COVID real bad, then you have a tendency to have vertigo. And I fight that every day of my life. Vertigo. I'm fighting it right now. And people ask me, say, how in the world do you drive with vertigo? I just simply tell them I pray and I pray and I pray. And God's kept me from getting in a wreck so far. I've had some close calls out here. But see that Bible right there, King James Bible, says our times are in his hands. So we're in good hands. You stay right with God, you're not going anywhere till God gets ready for you to go. Amen. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 1. I begin reading verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Notice it didn't say blessed art thou above women. The Roman Catholic Church wants to put her above women. Verse 29, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast to her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary. For thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Next time when he comes back, he's not going to hang on a cross. He's going to sit on a throne. I believe that's soon too. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Parted from her. And Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. She spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believe, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. The key verse in our text is verse 4-7. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. I want to preach with the help of God for just a little while on the joyful Christian. And I'm almost completely deaf. So if you'll give me a little bit more volume back there, I appreciate it. It'll help me. I'm going to leave this word of prayer and then I'll preach the message. As I pray, audibly you pray in your heart, ask God to speak. Only God can make the service what it ought to be. Our Father and our God in heaven, God, Father, thank you, God, for this Lord's day. Thank you, God, most of all for your son, Jesus. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. Father, I can't thank enough for saving my soul. I know if I got what I deserve, I'd be in hell. I thank you don't give us what we deserve, and it's justice. Thank you give us what we don't deserve, and it's mercy. Father, thank you, mercies are new every morning. Thank you, plenteous and mercy. And thank you, said, as thy days so shall thy strength be. Father, by here, God, you know, God, I'm just a man. I'm just clay, and bull clay at that. But you're God Almighty, so fill me the power of God. Oh, God, speak. Speak to our hearts, not just our heads. Father, again, now, Father, for one here lost in Jesus' name, save that soul right here this morning. Any backsliders, heal them. Revive our hearts. Will thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Bless this pastor and his family and bless this church. Thank you, dear God, Father, for this church family. God, thank you for these, our precious brothers and sisters in Christ. Bless each one here. Meet the spiritual needs of everyone here. God, please give us move of God this morning again this evening. Thanks for letting me come, God. Thank you for what we've already sensed in this church. Thank you, God in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Not too many years ago, four teenage boys stood before a judge, and that for beating up a poor elderly man for just $1.76. The judge said, "Boys, why did you do it? Why in the world did you do it?" One of them boys said, "Because there's just nothing else to do. We got bored and wanted something to do, that's all." Then again, not too many years ago, on one of the college campuses here in our nation, there were some students who entered a contest to write a definition of life for the college newspaper. I'll give you three that won honorable mention. Probably shocked you just like it did me. One said life is a joke, which isn't even funny. Another one said life is a jail sentence that we get for the crime of being born. A third one said life is a disease for which the only cure is death. Boy, how bleak, how dismal, how depressing is that outlook on life? Well, maybe it didn't feel like that. Maybe it said, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." She didn't have that kind of a mindset. You know, maybe she probably didn't have a large wardrobe, yet she said, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Maybe didn't have a bank account, yet she said, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Maybe didn't have a car or carport. She said, "Yet my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Maybe wasn't engaged to the city banker or the country rancher, yet she said, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." So we find ourselves saying, what was the source of this woman's joy? She didn't have any of the luxuries of life. I'm going to give you five sources of joy in her life, then I'll be through. First of all, she knew the joy of salvation. Mabel was saved. You say, you mean to tell me Mabel, the mother of our Lord, had to get saved? She sure did. Had to get saved just like me and you. When the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that included Mabel. It includes you, me. Mabel didn't have a halo over her head. Oh, no. Blessed art thou among women, not above women. The truth of the matter is, maybe didn't go to heaven because she gave birth to our Lord. Maybe went to heaven because our Lord gave birth to her. She got born again. I never forget when God saved me. Been over 50 years ago now. Got saved in an old country church in South Georgia, about 50 miles south of Macon, Georgia. Harmony Baptist Church, old wood frame building. Got a powerful preacher. Our pastor got a powerful evangelist to preach the revival that summer. His name was B. Conrad Perkle. He was a prayer warrior. Man, he would pray all day, sometimes all night. And I've been in some of them prayer meetings with him when we prayed all night long. Be praying when the sun comes up the next day. And, of course, that was after I got saved now. But I never forget, we had morning and night services. And God saved me in one of the morning services. He got up and preached. I've never seen God move in such power in that church like he did on that morning. But I never forget, he even picked out the invitational hymn. He said, "We're going to sing Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me." I picked my hymnal up. I can't really carry a tune, but I was trying to sing. When we came to the word Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me, that's exactly what happened. Just like that, I came under deep Holy Ghost conviction. And I stood there and I began to wrestle with that. By the time Mamie Calhoun, who was a prayer warrior, came and got on knees on this end of the communion table, she commenced to pray. My mother was sitting probably four or five pews behind me, and I thought, well, if my mother would go down and kneel and pray, I would. He didn't know what I was thinking, but I had no more thought that than here come a woman down the aisles and got on her knees by my Aunt Mamie Calhoun, and it was my mama. I said to myself, I said, this is it. I closed my hymnal, came, got on my knees on this end of the communion table, and I said, God, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. Forgive me for my sin. Jesus, would you come in my heart and save me? Just like that, he saved me. I knew I was saved before I got off my knees. When I walked out of that church that morning, it seemed like the sky was never bluer. Seemed like the sun was never brighter. Seemed like the birds never sang better because God had just saved mama's baby boy. Woo! I'm glad I'm saved. Are you saved? What happened to you when you walked the aisles of the church? Did your name go down on the roll up there, or did it just go down on the roll here? You say, what's the difference? The difference between heaven and hell. You sing when the roll is caught up yonder, I'll be there. You won't unless you've been born again. You got to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God I know I'm saved. Do you know you're saved? Maybe you knew the joy of salvation. Do you know the joy of salvation? That's where joy starts. Real joy is when you get saved. Thank God I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad that I know that I know that I know that I know that if I were to die today or if Jesus were to come today, I'm going to heaven. Do you know that? If you don't, you can. The joy of salvation. Secondly, she knew the joy of surrender. When God told Mary his will for her life, she didn't kick out the traces. No. And God didn't have to twist the arm. No, when God told her she was to be the vehicle to bring the Lord Jesus Christ, his humanity in this world, she just surrendered. See, the Bible says in verse 38, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, bid unto me according to thy word. When she said handmaid, that means a bond slave, a willing slave. See, God didn't have to force her. God didn't have to twist her arm. When God told Mary's will for her life, she surrendered. God called me to preach back yonder over 50 years ago. I raised the white flag of surrender. And I've never regretted it. I thank God for the privilege not only to be saved, but I thank God he called me to preach. Amen. Thank God. There's a joy that comes in surrender. And God had ever been a baby. You read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, where Paul said, I pray God preserve your whole spirit, soul, and body blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you're what the theologians would call a trichotomy, a three-part being. Well, Mary had a body, soul, and spirit. Let's see if God had all of Mary. With a body, she gave birth to our Lord. According to verse 46, with the soul she magnified the Lord. Verse 47, with her spirit she rejoiced in the Lord. That's all of Mary. Had a body, soul, and spirit. See, that's what God wants. He wants me. He wants you. Paul, in writing to the church of Corinth, committing to those of Macedonia, in that he said they first gave themselves to the Lord. I like that. One thing to put some money in the offering plate, but another thing to give yourself to the Lord. So that reminds me of a true story to my the offering plate. One time, this young fellow got saved. He loved Jesus with all of his heart. And sometimes you'll see a person that stand out like a neon light. I'm thinking of one right now. And this boy got saved. His daddy and mom were poor. They didn't have anything. And when this passing offering plate by. He held it in tears rolling off his face into the offering plate. He said, Jesus, you know I love you, but we're poor. We don't have any money. I wish I had some money to give you. About that time, he thought of something. He put that plate down on the floor. He pulled his shoes off. He got in that offering plate and said, Jesus, I'll just give you me. I believe that was an offering that the Lord was pleased with. Reminds me of another true story. Understand this true story. Back years ago, this preacher was preaching. The power of God was really moving. And a full-blooded Indian came through the back doors and sat out on the back pew. God got a hold of his heart. He came down the aisles and took the preacher by the hand. Remember now, he's a full-blooded Indian. He said, God wanted an Indian to give Tommy hope. We went back and sat down. Had no peace of mind, no peace of heart. He came back down and took the preacher by the hand again and said, God wanted an Indian to give more than an hour. So he gave us more than an hour to God. We went back and sat down, still no peace of mind, no peace of heart. He came back down and took that preacher by the hand and said, God wanted an Indian to give a pony. So he gave his pony to God. Went back and sat down, still no peace of mind, no peace of heart. Came back down and took the preacher by the hand and said, God wanted an Indian to give a wife. So he gave his wife to God. Went back and sat down. Still no peace of mind, no peace of heart. He came back down and one more time, he took that preacher by the hand and said, God wanted an Indian to give an Indian. He got peace of mind, peace of heart then. That's what God wanted. He wanted an Indian. That's what God wanted. He wants me. He wants you. There's a joy that comes in surrender. Then there's a joy that comes in sharing. You find here that Mary went into the hill country to see her cousin Elizabeth. And she shared with Elizabeth the fact that she's going to give birth to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so the joy that comes in sharing. Because when she shared this with Elizabeth, the Bible says that in verse 41, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, and whence is this to me that the mother of the Lord should come to me? Let's begin to praise God. There's a joy that comes and share it. I keep tracks on me. I got some in my pocket right here. Keep them in all my suit coat pockets. Got a bunch of them in my truck out there. I pass them out everywhere I go. I mean everywhere I go. I've been stopped in 5 different Cracker Barrels passing out tracks. The manager is usually the one that does it. I used to get upset and God rebuked me for that. The Bible says, be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. So now, if I'm passing the track out and the manager stops me, I just comply, you know, and okay, okay. But if I ever turn the back, I'll pass out some more. I remember one time I was in this Home Depot. There's one about 3 miles from our house. And you're going in there looking for supplies and things. And on this given day, when I walked into the Home Depot, I started out passing out tracks. And I thought, I do that everywhere I go. I don't care where I go, what I'm doing. I've already passed out a number of tracts over here in the motel I'm staying in. And I was going down through there, you know, passing out tracts. I'm on my way to buy some supplies. And came up this real tall fella who might have been a little bit older than I am. I think so. Offered him a tract. No, I don't need that. Rude. So I said, well, Jesus loved you and died for you. And when I said that, you're not going to believe what that man did. He turned on his heels. He looked at me. He said, I know one thing. If you voted for Donald Trump, you're going to hell. I thought, what in the world? I said, what in the world has that got to do with getting saved? I could have said, I know one thing. If I'd voted for that woman that ran against him, I'd have sure went to hell. This life's a lot of fun. Don't miss it. The joy of sharing. Then she knew the joy of the scriptures. She's full of the word of God. You read down here, beginning with verse 49, and maybe it's what they call Mabel's Magnificat, Mabel's song. She said, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. You read on down through here, and she's quoting from Genesis. She quoted from 1 Samuel. She quoted from Job. She quoted from Psalms. She quoted from Isaiah. She quoted from Micah. She's full of the word of God. Behind the word, she knows so much of the word of God, because it's doubtful that Mary and Joseph had a copy of the scriptures. They were among the poor people, the common people. We know that because of the offering that they offered when they took Jesus up to the temple. Turtle dove or pigeon, that's the offering of the poor. And they didn't have printing presses like we've got. They didn't have Bibles like this. No. The word of God was on a scroll, rolled up from the ends, and they were not on every coffee table. They were not in every car seat. Yeah. Few and far between. So how in the world did Mary know so much of the word of God? I'll tell you exactly how. They had synagogues, and they'd go to synagogues like me and you go to church, and they had a reader. They had a man who stood up before the crowd and read from the word of God. You remember over there in Luke chapter 4, I believe it is, beginning of Jesus' ministry, he went in the synagogue and they handed him the prophet Isaiah, and he commenced to read from that. So no doubt Mary sat right on the edge of the pew, so to speak, and she took all she heard, she took it in. She didn't allow herself to get distracted in the synagogue. She wasn't thinking about what she's going to cook when she got back home. Yes. You can't go through this book without this book going through you. It's alive. Amen. And you need to read your Bible and pray every day. Amen. One of the first things I reach for when I get up every morning is my Bible. If I reach for anything before that, it's my glass of tea. I drink tea year-round, day and night. I like sweet tea with lemon in it. Now, my wife, she drinks coffee. Say I'm a Christian, she ain't. No, I'm joking. If you never drank anything any stronger than coffee, you are it. Dr. Percy Ray was my hero. I got a huge portrait of him on the wall in my study. And he drank coffee. And he's the greatest Christian I ever met in my life. Ooh, he was a powerful man. I loved that man. I used to go to Cap Vine when that thing was right at its peak. Besides the joy that comes from the scriptures, then last of all, fifth source of joy in Mary's life, she knew the joy of the Spirit. The Bible said in verse 35, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Mary knew what it was to be filled with the Spirit of God. Joy of the Spirit. Seems like everybody in this chapter was filled with the Spirit. In verse 15, you find where John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 41, Mama, Elizabeth, was filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 67, Daddy, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, that's 100%. I'll tell you what, you let every member of every family in this church get filled with the Spirit of God. When we come to church, there won't nobody have to prime and pump you. You'll be ready to worship. Amen. Joy of the Spirit. See, now, if you tell me you don't have any joy, and what you're telling me is you're not filled with the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. You cannot be filled with the Spirit and not have joy. So if you don't have joy, you're not filled with the Spirit. I'll never forget one of the first times God ever filled me with the Spirit of God. We were having a crusade out from Ashburn, Georgia, about 40 miles from where I was born and raised, in Dewey County, Georgia. The preacher preached revival. I got saved and was preaching that meeting at a used tent up. And I'll never forget one night, I was so hungry, I was so thirsty, I knew I was saved. I'd been saved about a year. And I went down to the altar and got on my knees in those wood shavings. And I commenced to pray. Boy, my heart, I was hungry, I was so thirsty. When I got out of that altar, I did what a lot of people do after service, walked around talking, fellowshipping. But I know something began to happen down on the inside. Now, I'm not talking about wildfire neither. I'm talking about God's fire, the real thing. We shouldn't be scared of the real thing. Was walking around there talking, and it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I never experienced anything quite like that before. Two other young preachers came up to me and said, let's go down yonder where that place is where they buy their, the young people buy their hamburgers and hot dogs and milkshakes and coats and get them to come to this meeting tomorrow night. I said, let's go. So we jumped in my car and I was driving, three good Christian ladies. Not our dates, just three good Christian ladies jumped in the back seat. So we were headed downtown Ashburn. Kept getting bigger, bigger. Next thing I know, I'm arguing with God. I said, God, you're not going to make me shout in front of these folks, are you? I never foreshadowed in my life. I mean, I came up in one of them old dead churches in South Georgia, the old convention church. If you did that in that church, they'd probably thought you wanted to ask the question. I'd never shouted before. I know mine was real because most people try to work theirs up. I try to work mine down. But I couldn't do it. By the time we got that red light, I'm telling you the truth. God in heaven knows I'm telling you the truth. I felt like they're going to bust if I didn't let it out. So the time we got that red light, I started shouting. Once I started shouting, I shouted probably for 2 hours without stopping. Well, we got that place where they was eating the hamburgers and hot dogs and drinking the Coke and milkshakes, and it was an open air type of a thing. You could enter from any side. And so I was so full of the Holy Ghost by then and was still shouting. I got in the car and I literally ran under that thing. People sitting all around the tables. I went running out to the hard. I fell down on my knees and slid up to one of the tables. And when I did, I said, "Oh God, move in. Oh God, move in. Oh God, move in." He did, and they moved out. Scared them to death. They started running every direction, cars going in every direction. When I opened my eyes, nobody was in there, not even the manager. They gave us the whole place. And about the joy of salvation, are you saved? The joy of surrender. If you ever raised a white flag of surrender and said, "Not my will but thine be done." The joy of sharing. Do you share Jesus with others? I hope you keep your pocket tracks. And ladies, I hope you keep your pocketbooks full of tracks and pass them out everywhere you go. Dr. Oliver Green was one of the greatest preachers in South Carolina. And they put, oh my, no telling how many thousands upon top of thousands of tracks. Dr. Oliver Green had printed. And he said, they call them tracks, he said, because they'll track you. That's right. So pass out tracks everywhere you go. Invite people to come to your church. Then do you know the joy of the scriptures? Do you read the Bible every day? And then you know, do you know the joy of the Spirit of God? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And you might have been filled this time last year, but I don't mean you're filled now. One baptism, many fillings. Paul said in Ephesians 5:18, "Be not drunk with wine, when it says, but be ye filled with the Spirit." I repeat, are you filled with the Spirit? I'm through preaching. Would you stand? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Musicians, come. I have a word of prayer with you. Some of you may want to come to the altar while I'm praying. Are you a joyful Christian? If you don't have any joy, you're going to have a hard time convincing them lost sinners that what you got's real. You won't be able to do it. Would you come while I pray? Father, Jesus, thank God, speak to our hearts. Speak. God, I thank you we can be a joyful Christian in these last days. Thank you, God. They won't have to endure this thing. Thank you, we can enjoy it. Thank you, precious Jesus, for making it all possible. Thank you, Jesus. You're so sweet, so precious. You're the best thing ever happened to us, that ever happened to us. Father, please, God, if there's one that's lost in Jesus' name, save that soul right now. Please don't let anyone in this church die without God and go to hell. Oh, God, please, God, meet the spiritual needs of everyone here this morning. And Father, we thank you. Well, here's the bowed eyes are closed, and the pianist is playing. I encourage you to come. I'm fixing to turn it back over to your pastor. Would you come?